Good morning, everyone. My name is Emilio Brito. I am the youth pastor in Community of Faith Cancun, and today I have the privilege of sharing the Word of God with all of you. I don't know about you, but my family and I are very excited because we will be all together again very soon. I hope that you are up to date with all the news that Marco and Karina have shared through videos on social media about the reopening of the church and all the new safety protocols that we all have to follow and to keep this bug away. But today, we are not going to talk about this bug, but about the message that I called God's Glory versus Envy. So fasten your seatbelts, because today we're going to dive into this fascinating subject. I want to start with a story. You all know that I love to start messages this way. And this one is about some memories I have from my childhood and my teenage years. My dad was a lawyer, and he had an office full of books and documents, and there was something that distinguished him. When he was working, he enjoyed listening to classic music. And I remember the atmosphere that was created in his office, the smell of wood and Bach in the background as one of his favorites. Bach was for classical music what Shakespeare was for literature, or Newton for physics. A work of Bach that most of us have heard after four centuries of being composed is Jesus, the Joy of Men. And we usually listen to it in one of the most important moments of life, at the entrance of a bride to her wedding. His songs come from the soul and reach ours. One of the reasons this happens is because Bach's compositions did not originate as simple songs, but as prayers to God. And before he began to compose, he would write in the upper margin of the music sheet the following words, Jesu Juba. In Latin, it means Jesus, help me. And at the end of the composition, he wrote three letters, SDG, Soli Deo Gloria, only to the glory of God. So Soli Deo Gloria was one of the war cries of the Protestant Reformation. It turns out that Bach's life glorified God in a way that no one could do it, just as no one can glorify God like you. Do you realize this? Your life, it's a blank music sheet with the ability to glorify God like no one else could do it. So imagine for just one second that your life could be a masterpiece that gives all the glory to God. Shocking, right? That is why today we will talk about how to give glory to God. And also about a sin that it's trying to keep us from achieving this, a sin that keeps us away from giving all the glory to God. The sin is called the envy. So let's pray. Are you ready? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege we have to be able to learn about your word. Please, Lord, clear my mind. Take control over this message. Make me so small that nobody can see me, but they see you. Be you who talks through me about your word. Touch every heart listening today. Give us a clear and practical idea on how to achieve this in our lives and how to give you all the glory. Overcoming this sin that wants to distract us from giving it to you, the envy. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. So let's go to point number one. Look, the ultimate goal of everything is to display the glory of God. That's the ultimate goal of everything. In fact, Romans 11:36 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever." The glory of God is the reason for the existence of everything, including you and me. God made everything we can see and what we can't see for his glory. Without the glory of God, there would be anything. But what is the glory of God? I don't think there are enough words to make an accurate description, but let's try. The glory of God is the essence of the nature of God. It is the weight of his importance, the demonstration of his power, and the atmosphere of his presence. It is the expression of his goodness and all the other intrinsic and eternal qualities of God. The glory of God is everything we see and what we do not see, and him and his glory are everywhere. The seas, the forests, the wild animals, the stars, the sun, the moon, a beautiful sunset, a storm full of lightning. He is within the power of a hurricane, the speed of light, within a baby's smile, and within the hug of someone you love. So just look around you and you can see the glory of God. Its power is undeniable as creation reveals the glory of our Creator. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims the work of his hands." And not only can we see his glory in creation, but we can see his glory in his Son, Jesus. Jesus came into the world so that in addition to giving his life for you and me on the cross so we could be forgiven, and also to give us direct access to have a relationship with the Father, he also came to show us the glory of God through himself. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Wow. Beautiful words. But let me ask you a question, and please be completely honest today. Do we really give the glory to God? Do you really give glory to God? I'm going to be very honest with you today. I constantly forget to do it. I want to enjoy its glory. In fact, I like it. I love his creation, but I forget the one that deserves the glory. Let me give you an example. It's like someone gave you an amazing gift, but not only a small present. Imagine something that you really want and that it would be impossible for you to get. So there is this person who loves you so much and that knows exactly what you want. So this person gets it for you. He prepares the gift, he wraps it, and one day you hear someone knocking at your door. So you open the door and suddenly you see that thing that you wanted so bad, and wow, you are so happy and thrilled. You're screaming and shouting of happiness. You take the gift with your hands, turn around, and then you slam the door. Can you imagine how this person felt? This person who is outside and who got this present for you, carefully wrapped it, that brought it to you with so much love, and you didn't even say hello or thank you. You did not even look at him. You simply took the gift, closed the door, and started enjoying it. That is pure selfishness. The reality is that we are selfish. We concentrate on the gifts that God gives us instead of concentrating on the one who gives us the gifts. So when we do this, we sin. And we sin when we love anything above God. When we do this, we refuse to give glory to God. And today, the Word of God will show us that envy is a trap that keeps us from giving glory to God. So let's talk about our next point. Number two is the trap of the envy. When I was in high school, I had a classmate who, according to me, had everything that I did not have. To begin with, he was tall. I have always been a shorty. On top of that, he was handsome. And I tell you this not because he looked handsome to me, but because the girls I liked him. In addition, he dressed so in fashion, which I didn't. Then his family had an economic position that mine did not. And as if that were not enough, he seemed very self-confident. All of this wasn't something that really bothered me until one day he became the boyfriend of the girl I liked. So from that moment on, envy entered my heart because according to me, he had everything I didn't have. So back then I was not thinking about sunsets or interested in contemplating the forest or the stars. I had lost interest in the church, and my heart had fallen into the trap of wanting what someone else had. In other words, instead of being focused on the glory of God, I was focused on what another young man had, and I didn't. Has this happened to you? Because this is not only for young people. Think about it. Have you not found yourself wanting what others have? Suddenly, we find ourselves trying to be something we are not, imitating others, or trying to be something we were not created for. And then we find ourselves angry for what others are and for what I am. We take the bait and fall into the trap of envy. Here's something super important that you need to know about envy. Envy changes the way you see others and the way you see yourself. When you see things that other people have that you don't, but that you really want to have, envy can make you feel dark and weird feelings inside your heart about your life. And it can also make you feel insecure about who you are or who you are not. So this is how putting your attention on others in that way makes you feel bad about yourself. And that's when anger appears. Because anger almost always follows envy. It goes right next to each other. So that person that you are focusing on becomes the source of mixed feelings. And not only that, a little later, this person becomes the target of your anger. So sadly, that's when we do what is not right. We suddenly distance ourselves from people we are envious or jealous of, so we stay away from them. Suddenly we find ourselves bad talking behind their backs, or even telling stories to others, or making things up about them. And we are just saying it. We find ourselves making mental lists of all their flaws, and I put myself above them. We suddenly notice that we don't like them, and we don't do anything to hide it. We show them that we do not like them. We take senseless and sometimes even dangerous actions. We are not okay with them, and we are not okay with ourselves. This is exactly what happened to the first king of Israel, King Saul. At first, he was a good king, brave in battle and had the respect of his people. But at one point during his reign, he and his people found themselves in a war against the Philistines. And remember that they had a secret weapon, a very dangerous weapon. They had a giant who was 3 meters tall, and his name was Goliath. A huge fellow, skilled in warfare with impressive strength. Nobody wanted to face him. And that's when David decides to do it and then defeat him in the name of God. This is how David became a hero to the Israelites. But that was not enough. But David was also successfully carried out everything Saul asked him to do. We find this in 1 Samuel 18:5. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over the men of war. David became very successful at that time. All the people loved him, and the people would dance and sing for him. They went out singing and dancing like Saul killed his thousands, but David, his 10,000s. The trap had been set and Saul took the bait. Place yourself in Saul's shoes for a minute. He was as human as we are. How do you think Saul felt when, being the king, he saw the people he ruled singing to him? Saul killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Saul had fallen into the trap of envy. And this was his reaction. We find it in 1 Samuel 18:8-9. This made Saul very angry. the statement displeased him, and he thought, "They have attributed to David tens of thousands, but to me they have attributed only thousands. What does he lack except the kingdom?" Can you imagine that phrase? How did he say it? So Saul was keeping an eye on David from that day onward. He started looking at David with envy. We are going to identify three harmful effects of envy. There are many, but we will only focus on three that are very, very important. Envy denies your uniqueness. In other messages, we have talked about how unique we are. This is something we try to talk about here in church. And I often talk about it with the youth because they need to know that each one of them are unique, amazingly designed by the hand of God, and that there is nobody nor will never be like them. I think we do understand our uniqueness, designed by God, and that there has never been someone like us or never will be. The Bible says that we are God's workmanship. However, when you envy others, you cannot see the value of your uniqueness. And I imagine that when we are before God in his court, asking us what we did with all the talents and gifts he gave us, he's not going to ask me, "Emilio, why didn't you look more like your neighbor? Maria, why you were not like your cousin? Juan, why you were not like your boss?" It is more likely that he will ask you, "Emilio, why weren't you more like I made you? Why did you spend so much time trying to be like others?" That's what happened to Saul. At some point, he started comparing himself to David. He was denying his uniqueness. So, next harmful effect. Envy wastes your time and energy. So envy makes you waste your time and energy. Saul's heart was filled with envy, and he spent so much time making plans to end with David's life. Just to begin with, because there are many stories about this, but just to begin with, Saul had a spear. I think because he was a king, he had a favorite spear, I don't know. And many times he was probably having dinner, and out of the blue, he would throw his spear at David, trying to kill him several times. He did it many, many times. Something that Saul also did many times was to send David into unnecessary battles so he could be killed by his enemies. In addition, he promised one of his daughters as David's wife, but only to give her to another man. And to finally marry another of his daughters, Saul sent him straight into a trap in the hope that David would be finally killed. And there are many other stories about this. This tells us about Saul's obsession. Obviously, he was spending a lot of time and energy making plans to hurt David. It is as if he had put a filter on his heart titled Envy. Word highlighted and bold. And let me tell you, we all unconsciously use these filters. Has it happened to you that you want to buy a car of a certain brand and a certain color? Let's say that you want a yellow Beetle. And as you know, there are not many yellow Beetles around anymore. But what happens? Now you want a yellow Beetle. Now you start seeing them everywhere, when before you could never find one. The same thing happens when we get into our heads that someone is better than us. We put a filter in our mind and in our heart that says, he's better than me, everyone is better than me, and I am so much less than everybody else. We put this in our head and it appears as a white elephant that you will turn into a recurring thought that will accompany you for as long as you decide. So, let's put this in perspective. It is estimated that we can generate around 10 to 80 billion thoughts throughout our life. 10 to 80 billion. This is more than the number of atoms in the universe. We think a lot the danger of this. It is very delicate that many of these thoughts are negative and repetitive. I imagine the stress level of Saul with David, spinning in his head hundreds of times every day. How am I going to get rid of David? How am I going to kill him? Making plans and filling his mind and his heart with negative thoughts towards David. You know who was very aware of this? Pablo, Paul. That's why he told us that we should renew our minds without conforming to the world. Saul did not renew his mind, but on the contrary, he conformed to the world and embraced the trap of envy. Let's learn from him and remove the filter of envy from our heart and put the filter of love. Because if we don't do this, we will discover that envy has an effect that can do us even more harm. Because you know why? Envy leads us to other sins. Envy is one of the seven deadly sins. These are basic sins from which many more come. The Bible says in James 3:16, "For where there is jealousy and selfishness, there is disorder and every evil practice." So, a lot of evil practice. Envy causes confusion, produces conflict, competition, and eliminates harmony. So, make yourself these questions. Can envy make people lie? Yes. Can envy make people steal? Yes. Can envy get into debt just to try to impress people they don't even know? Yes. Can envy even make us try to murder someone? The answer has already been given to us by Saul. Yes. One thing we should do when a relationship is not working is to assess whether there is envy in that relationship. As we have realized, envy has the capacity to do a lot of damage. We're going to see three strategies to eradicate envy from our lives. Let's see at these three strategies. We analyze the problem, now we're going to find the solution. So, number one, stop comparing yourself to others. Please stop comparing yourself to others. This is the starting point. Comparison is the root of all envy. Since we were children, we started doing it. Let me tell you quickly. A few weeks ago, it was Jethro's birthday, our oldest son, and very early in the morning, he started receiving greeting videos. Now with technology, that's what people do. So we were all watching them, myself, Jenny, Jethro, and Joshua, our little five-year-old. And we were all very happy watching these videos. And suddenly, Joshua's face went from joy to envy. He frowned. He even had some tears. And then he said, "Why is Jethro getting these videos and I don't get any?" Well, because it's Jethro's birthday, not yours. That's when we realized that a long day awaited for us. If this was happening with the videos, imagine what would happen when Jethro started receiving gifts. It was going to be a bit more complicated. And we tried to explain Joshua, but he battled for quite some time understanding it. And this is a skit, but being honest, these happen to us all the time as adults. As adults, we compare clothes, cars, our bodies, as I did at the beginning of this message. He was taller than me. The ones with a lot of hair want to have less. The ones with less hair want to have more. The tall ones want to be shorter. The shorter wants to be taller. We are never going to have enough. We compare houses, we compare salaries, and whatever comes to mind. So we are in a constant comparison. So listen to what the Bible says about this in 2 Corinthians 10:12. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. Do you know why it's foolish to compare yourself with others? Because you're incomparable. That's why it's foolish to compare ourselves with others, because we are incomparable. And let me tell you something else. You will always find people who have more than you, and this can cause envy. There will always be someone who has more than you. But you will also find people who have less than you every time, and this can cause you to feel pride. What matters is not who's doing the best, but that you are doing the best you can with what you have been given. So God won't judge you for your talents you don't have or the opportunities that didn't come your way. He is interested in the fidelity with which you lived and what you did with what was given to you. Very little or a lot. How faithful you are to God. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things, says the Word of God. A good way to start living the faithfulness that God wants from you is by making a conscious decision to end without the habit of comparing yourself to others. We need to break this habit. So something else we can do to eradicate envy from our lives is to celebrate the goodness of God in others. So let's go back to Saul's story. How different Saul's life would have been if instead of being filled with envy for David, he had celebrated that God had given David great talents. Saul could have made David a great ally and celebrated with the people a warrior who was at the service of God and of him as king. But instead, he did the opposite. He became full of envy and jealousy against David. The Bible tells us that instead of getting angry with others, let's rejoice with them. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." Sometimes, crying with those who cry is relatively easy. Someone going through crisis or pain, we can be empathetic with sorrow. We can even cry with them. But enjoying the success of others is something else. It's not easy. This is easy to identify in your life. So ask yourself, when a coworker is giving a job or a raise, how do you feel? When your colleague comes to you and he says, "Hey, my friend, I got the position or the raise," and then you tell him, "Whoa, congrats, I'm so happy for you. Are you truly meaning it or are you just being polite?" This feeling comes. I did not get it, I have worked for it, I deserved it. And sometimes we don't even hide it. We show that person that we are angry. Yeah, we're like, "Yeah, right, thank you, well, great." When we are single and we see that our friends are going to get married, like you start seeing that your friends start telling you about their engagement, the rings, and you still have not found that right person. And instead of celebrating with your best friend that they are getting married, you start thinking, "And when will I be engaged?" You don't feel good about it. You feel envy. Or what about when you're struggling with weight, and especially after this quarantine, after a while you find a friend who is super fit and lost lots of weight, but you didn't. we should feel happy for them. How do we feel about it instead of rejoicing with them for achieving their goal? But how do you feel about their success? Do you really rejoice with them? Or you start saying, oh, they're so skinny and thin and I'm so fat. How do you feel about it? One of the reasons why it's sometimes difficult to rejoice with those who rejoice is because we are afraid that we will not receive the same. Listen to how Saul experienced it. 1 Samuel 18:15. When Saul saw how very successful he was referring to David, he was afraid of him. He was afraid. Saul was afraid of David. Instead of being happy and celebrating the fact that David helped his nation succeed, instead of that, Saul felt threatened and was afraid. The envy trap was already working. So he was afraid. The envy trap was already working. The following proverb gives us a description of the effect that envy has on people. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A calm heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot." Envy makes the bones rot. If we are not careful, we can find ourselves in the same position as Saul, and we ourselves might experience how. Envy can make us doubt from ourselves. Envy can make us feel less. Envy can fill us with stress and anger. Envy can distract us and even destroy us. So, envy corrodes the bones. We will constantly find people who seem to have better things and a better life than we do. And sometimes that sends our hearts in the wrong direction. And if you're not careful, you will discover that envy has the potential to not only tear your relationships apart, but also to damage the way we feel about ourselves. One thing we can do about it is to celebrate God's goodness in others. When we do this, we extend the love and compassion that God has given us to others. God loves us. He accepts us. He cares for us. He admires us. That is exactly what we need to do for others. Love our neighbor. Reinforce them. Be happy with and for them. Instead of filling our hearts with envy, when we do this, we will replace envy in our hearts. So the next point is a way to put this into practice in your own life. Be grateful for who you are and what you have. Look at your own life objectively, and you will realize that there are many, many things worth celebrating. Envy is based on the popular myth that having more will make you happier. This is a great lie. We see it in the Bible and in thousands of testimonies of people today. The same Solomon, who was the richest man who ever lived, said this about the desire to want more. We find it in Ecclesiastes 5:10-11. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? More is never enough. Never enough. Saul wanted to be more. He was the king of Israel. But that wasn't enough for him. He couldn't see that someone was better than him in any way. Envy was tearing apart his heart. On the contrary, look at what David wrote with enormous gratitude. 2 Samuel 7:18 says, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far?" Who am I? David is saying to himself, I am nothing, and even with that, you brought me so far. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That is what is behind this phrase, a humble and grateful heart for what it has. And years later, Solomon, his son, wrote, enjoy what you have instead of wishing for what you don't have. Dreaming of having more makes no sense. It is like chasing the wind. You will never catch it. So let me say it clearly. Having dreams, wanting to progress, giving your family a better life, better living conditions are good things. However, envy poisons everything it touches and prevents God's blessings on your efforts. But instead of focusing on the successes of others, ask yourself, what am I good for? You will surely find many, many things. You'll find many things that you are good for. What are you grateful for? You will realize that your life is full of blessings, no matter where you stand right now. I know that these are very difficult times, but even now, open the eyes of your mind and your heart. And even now, you will see tons of blessings around you. Make yourself another question. What is good in your life right now? Even if you're going through crisis now, do not focus only on the bad. There are many more good things in your life than bad. I can assure you that. Do you realize this? And you know what you can do next? Mark has told you this before, but I am saying it again. Write one thing each day for which you are grateful for. Each morning when you wake up, write it down on your cell phone or tablet or a piece of paper, but write one thing that you are grateful for. Maybe you are grateful because you rested in a bed, or because you have a house, or because you have a husband or a wife, or because you have children, because you have something to eat in your fridge, because you have God in your heart, because you're alive. There are so many things to be grateful for. So write them down, and you will become aware of the grace, the love, and the mercy that God has on you. And instead of the envy, you will be able to give all the glory to God with your own life. Doing this requires changes in your priorities, your plans, your relationships, but it is a good start. I think that the question that we all should ask is, who will I live for? Who are you going to live for? For yourself or to give glory to God? I am going to live for God, or are you going to live for yourself? True life begins with an absolute commitment to Jesus. Absolute commitment. So if you're not sure that you have made this commitment, all you need to do right now is accept it and believe it. Believe and accept. The Bible promised that more to those who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to be children of God. We need to start right there. Believe, accept him in your heart. Only by believing in him, you will be able to place with humbleness at the beginning of each day, of each project, of each decision. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And at the end of each talk, each day, each project, each decision, at the end of your life, sign SDG. Soli Deo Gloria. Only for the glory of God. So, giving all the glory to God, he with his power, with his majesty, with his glory, will have defeated envy and any other sin in your life. Dear church, today I tell you, believe that God loves you. You need to believe that God loves us. We need to believe that we are not an accident. We need to believe that we have a purpose on this earth. Super important. We need to believe that we have been created to live forever, for eternity, and that everything we do here on earth will have an impact on eternity. Believe that Jesus died for you and for me on the cross. When we truly believe this, when we embrace this reality, we can give God all the glory. It is our prayer that your life, that our life, gives all the glory to God. Can you imagine? If we all do this, we will have the life God wants us to have. That's the life that God wants us to have. Now, we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper with the faith that everything Jesus did on the cross was for you and me. Everything Jesus did on the cross was for you and me. So together, let's give him the glory that belongs to him. Let's pray. My loving God, you know how much we need Jesus. We need it and we need Jesus. Today, Lord, we want to give you all the glory because it's yours, Lord. Only you deserve it. Thank you, God, because you sent your only Son to die for our sins, to die for us, to help us to be closer to you. Thank you, God, for this incredible mercy, and thank you for your infinite grace. Let's eat the bread. Thank you, precious Father, because you were willing to shed the blood of Jesus in the cross to clean us. Thank you for your forgiveness and for your great love. Now let's drink the juice. Dear Father, it is incredible to be able to talk about your word and to receive your word. Thank you, Father, because it has been almost 7 months that these building doors have been closed. But your church, God, has never been closed. The doors of the church have always been open. And in a few days, we will all be together. We will all be together to sing your praises, to worship you, to listen about your word, and to practice all that you teach us. Thank you, Lord, because you have allowed us to be tested. Thank you because we have seen your grace and your mercy work in all of us. We love you, Father, and we want to give you all the glory above all things. We want to only love you. In the name of your beautiful Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Well, thank you. See you soon, and we'll see you at Comunidad de Fe. Have a great weekend. Bye.